Have you ever rolled into a camp? Maybe it's not quite dusk, getting there, evening time, and maybe you're alone, maybe you are with people. You're setting up, you get everything out of the truck, you get the tent set up, you get the canopy set up, whatever you're setting up, get your fire going, and you can't shake the feeling that there's a weird vibe at this place. Well, you may be visited by ghosts. Apparently, especially in Colorado, they are all over the place here in the West. We're going to talk about that in podcast 1014 with an actual real ghost chaser. So live from the Grand Mesa, beautiful national forest in Colorado, the Bob Davis podcast, podcast 1014, Ghost Stories. Well, you guys know that I've been working with PrivacyPost.io, which is a company which will help you register your business, your RV, in tax-free South Dakota, as well as any number of other services, which are all concentrated on privacy. One of the biggest problems that we nomads have, especially if we're doing business, is we really struggle with privacy because you're using hotspots. As I said in a previous podcast, you might be using your girlfriend's hotspot or your boyfriend's hotspot. You're rolling up to McDonald's to use their Wi-Fi, and these are all unsecured. And with hotspots, you're using your phone, and you're not secure. Well, I have a device called the Pep Wave, which I like to talk about. The Pep Wave right now is pointing up the hill. We are 10,300 feet up, and it's able to get a signal so that I can do what I need to do behind a VPN that PrivacyPost.io has provided, and I'm completely secure. And I think that's really great. And I'm going to tell you something else. They also feature, along with a number of other services, if you go to privacypost.io or click on the Privacy Post banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com, you can see a menu of services that they provide. Things like registering your business in tax-free South Dakota, registering your RV, getting your licenses and your registration in tax-free South Dakota. And there's a reason for it. You know, if you're buying a $200,000 RV, let's say, you know, I would love to be able to do that, but let's say you did, and you buy it in Massachusetts or Minnesota or a lot of other states, think about the sales tax. Well, South Dakota, it's a lot less, and it costs a lot less to register it. So that's just one thing. They also provide a service called Proton Mail. Proton Mail is a really, first of all, it blows Google Mail away, just in terms of the interface and how it all works. Second of all, it's completely secure. They're based in Switzerland, and no one can communicate or know what your communication is. You know, you've heard the stories about Google being able to cache and look at everybody's communications and emails. Think about that. All of the emails that you've sent on Google Mail, Gmail, can be accessed and read, and that data is cached somewhere for some purpose, usually to sell. Proton Mail, not like that. So here's what you do. Go to privacypost.io. They offer a menu of a la carte services as well as full services. The Pep Wave is in there. So communications, virtual mail, getting you registered and so forth in South Dakota, and taking care of all of that. And there's so much more. Privacypost.io. Click on the Privacy Post banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com, or just go privacypost.io. If you're out on the road like I am, you owe it to yourself to check it out. Privacypost.io. I was just commenting the other day how a lot of times people say to me, you must meet a lot of really interesting people and interview them. And the truth is, no, I don't. Usually, the people that are the most interesting are the people that don't think they're that interesting. And so I'm going to introduce a couple of camp hosts. I'm not going to say the name of the campground. There's lots of campgrounds in Grand Mesa National Forest, because they're camp hosts. And according to a woman I will call Bonnie, one of the camp hosts here, when you talk about ghost chasing and when you talk about ghosts, it often invites weird humans. It invites and triggers certain kinds of responses, because some people do not like the idea that there perhaps might be entities, however you describe them, in a dimensional world, in another dimension, on the quote other side. And we're going to talk with Bonnie, who is a bona fide ghost chaser, retired now after some very interesting experiences. We're going to sit down here at the table in the campground, and they're coming over, and we're going to talk about ghost chasing and some of the experiences, especially here in Colorado. She's an expert on Colorado and the West. So we're going to talk to Bonnie, and I'm just going to introduce her as Bonnie because she has requested that I keep this relatively anonymous. So Jay and Bonnie are the camp hosts here at this unidentified campground here at the Grand Mesa in Colorado.
I grew up, my father worked for the USDA. We got transferred to this little bitty town. The only thing available was this old house, and it had been the town's hospital, probably from the Civil War to about the First World War, was my understanding. And at that point, I knew nothing of ghosts besides Casper. I thought they were, I was a kid, 4 or 5 years old. But shortly after we moved into this house, strange things started happening. There's a couple of gentlemen that looked like they were from the mid-1800s. I didn't know that at the time, but later on I did. And they followed me around, and they were always talking to me and waving and smiling. They adored me, it seemed to me. They were sweet. I was not afraid of them.
Did they look like people, or were they?
Oh, just like me looking at you.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it was that, and then different things happened in the house that was weird, just I should write a book about all this. But yeah, it's just one night, I believe at this point it was a doctor that used to be there, came down the stairs and stopped at the landing, shut the door, and I thought perhaps it was my parents, but he came into my bedroom and he touched me. It was like an electrical shock going through my body. And I didn't know what that was. It was an old house, so I had touched a cord before and it had felt electricity, so I knew that's what it felt like.
We don't think that ghosts can touch us, but you've been touched more than once.
Oh, countless times, as doing this ghost hunting for years on end, later on in life. But yeah, they can definitely touch you. I was on my back deck on sunny day with what is now my ex-husband, and we were just talking, and I felt something hit me so hard on my back, and I thought maybe a tree branch had broken, but we looked and I had a big welt about 6 inches long on my back, and there was no tree branches. And so yeah, they do touch you. I was staying at the Brown Palace one night with a friend of mine. We were
in Denver,
yes, doing we were working with an author on a book that she was writing about the Fireman's Museum. But anyway, we were staying at the Brown Palace, and we had some activity in there the night before, like we'd laid all our stuff on the bed, and my phone flew across the room, and we're like, okay, must be someone in here with us. The Brown Palace is one of Denver's oldest, finest hotels.
And it's haunted.
Yes, we heard that, and it surely was. In the middle of the night, I'm laying in bed, and I'm still awake, and something... my hair was on the pillow and something was pressing on it really hard. And I said, hey, just stop that. We can share this bed. And then it started hitting me in the back. And I said, come on now, I'm tired. And then it whammed the headboard really hard and I jumped in bed with my friend. But yeah, and we've had so many experiences like that, going to these places. Colorado is full of spirits that just don't want to leave.
And we talked a little bit before I found out I wasn't recording. We talked a little bit about what ghosts are. And you have some interesting takes on that. Because people tell ghost stories around campfires, but they never talk about what a ghost actually is.
Yeah, there's many beliefs on that. One believes that, spirits are like our relatives who do ascend, go to the other side, and then come back and visit us and leave little signs. Some people believe that ghosts are the ones that never leave. Different people have different theories. It's all just theory. We have found that sometimes children don't leave. which is weird because you think if you believe in all, maybe someone on the other side would guide them. Also, it's kind of a belief of some that people who commit suicide don't want to cross over. You know, their religious beliefs tell them that suicides, I think that's a Christian belief, that you go to hell if you believe in hell. And so some people believe suicides don't. Also, there are cases of people who die suddenly and they just don't even know they're dead, so they stick around. And then there's also...
What can they see? What can they see in our world?
I have no idea. That's a good question. They see us. I have made recordings, like at the Stanley Hotel, where we were in the most haunted room, me and my daughter and my ghost hunting partner, and I had a digital recorder going, and when I listened to it later, I mean, we were talking to them, and I very clearly heard them say, "Thank you, Rose," which was my partner's name, ghost hunting partner's name. It was undeniable, and it was just us three girls, and it was a man's voice.
Weird.
Yeah, so we've caught a lot of things. You know, even though we have some things we can do on our own, that we've used digital recorders, we've used different types of cameras, and we've caught things that, you know, are kind of hard to disprove.
We've all seen that stuff on television.
Yeah, exactly.
But you think, oh, it's a TV show.
Right, right. And it is really fascinating. And
pets can become ghosts too, right?
Kind yes, of. Yes. Animals, yeah.
Cat? Did you say cats?
Pets.
Oh, pets, yeah.
Absolutely. I've seen cats and dogs and all kinds of things like that, yeah.
Do you smell anything with ghosts?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Cigars and pipe tobacco are pretty common. That sort of thing. You know, I've never had any of the putrid smells or anything per se. Yeah, there are smells. You know, maybe you're laying in your bed and you smell your grandmother's perfume. Well, my belief system is grandma's there. Mm. You know, just checking in on you. I kind of got out of it. I had a kind of a weird experience once, and I used to laugh at people that said they had walk-ins. And
okay, well, you have to define what a walk-in is.
A walk-in is when a ghost goes into your body without your permission. And I always thought, okay, these people are, you know, a little crazy or whatever they think. But I had that happen to me one night. And
what did it feel like?
You know, it wasn't... I had a business, a pet-sitting business, and my daughter and I went to this house one night. This lady had told us she was an amateur ghost hunter, and we didn't think much of it. We didn't know her. But we were sitting downstairs with her dog, and we're hearing all this banging, like somebody moving boxes around upstairs. And I said to my daughter, "Will you go see what's going on up there?" She came down, and she goes, "Whoa, Mom, you should see what it's like up there." And I went, "Let's just go. I'm tired. Let's just go. It's been a rough week." And so we left and didn't think much of it. And on the way home, I started having all these negative, horrible thoughts. And I'm like, I have an evil side? As of when? And I kind of laughed it off. But yeah, it was really strange. I was at home and I was looking at Facebook and looking at some things, and anyways, I started hearing this voice going, "You want to die, you want to kill yourself," and it just started going on. I'm like, why is this coming from inside of my head? This isn't me. And it was really strange, and it just kept it up. And I mean, that's when you call on your spiritual beliefs, whatever they might be,
to get rid of it.
But I was having all these dark thoughts, and I'm just like pretty mellow. You know, I wouldn't hurt a flea, literally. I mean, I'm a plant-based person. I let bugs loose. You know, I'm harmless.
We were talking about killing flies earlier.
Yeah. And so for me to actually want to be harming people.
I like to kill flies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, good.
I must have a ghost.
You must. But anyway, at that point, you know, I'm just like, maybe I just didn't want.
You don't need to be around that anymore.
Right. And I mean, we still get things and things still approach us and that sort of thing. But, when you to really get into this, I would meditate a couple of times a day, and you really open your mind to things. When you start meditating, you open doors, and you can get a lot more. I think it runs in my family. You know, I'm English and Scottish and Norwegian, and there is that sort of component to
the old lore.
Yeah, the old lore.
I was talking about this, wondering whether sometimes people see them. And they see them in a corporeal form, and they don't even know they're ghosts.
Yes.
And I think that's probably the most disturbing thing that you could think of, is you more people may be seeing ghosts and not even know it.
They could. Yeah, I have seen things. Yeah, like you're saying, like I saw as a kid. And you tend to lose it as you grow up because, you know, society influences you.
Rationalization.
And rationalization. But yeah, I have seen full bodies, and that just... Jay himself, after his father died, saw his dad sitting next to him in the truck. And that's not uncommon either for parents to see that.
Right down to the detail of the cigarette burns and his windbreaker.
Really?
Yes, sir.
And you just were in the truck, looked over, and there he was?
Yeah, I was pulled up to a stoplight, and I looked over there, and there he was.
How'd you feel when that?
Weird. Weird. It was almost like, I can't wait for this to be over, because this... And it was. It was just like that.
It was an instant.
Yes.
But it felt like you had the time to think, I want this to be over.
Yeah.
You know?
And it felt very real.
But he was just visiting.
Yeah.
It's...
Didn't say anything.
Was he a talker?
He would talk, yeah. But he didn't say anything that day.
That's bizarre.
But yeah, it was very vivid.
And it should be comforting to people. My mother appeared after she died. I just think it should be comforting for people to know that maybe there's life after death, and maybe these folks are still looking after us, you know?
Well, and it is. It can be disturbing that, it can be disturbing. When my mom died, you know, I kind of smudged the house,
mm-hmm.
and I said, you know, you don't want to come back here. Just, you know, I assume that wherever you are is better. It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
But she died of a cerebral hemorrhage.
Oh,
and my concern was that she was struggling and really didn't know, you know, really. She had to have known something had happened. I was on the phone with her when it happened.
Oh, my gosh. I'm
so
sorry.
It was weird. But the main thing was I didn't want. She always said, well, I'm going to contact you. And now that I hear Jay's story, I don't know if I want to look over in Mobile Podcast Command and see my mom sitting there.
Consider it comforting if she's still looking after you, you know?
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit more about communicating, I guess, or people who have passed on communicating with us. I think we've all had that experience, even though some people decry it. We have all had that experience. So we're going to talk about that in the second half of this podcast. Do you hate your printer? Because I know a lot of people do. It's the worst piece of office equipment. It's so poorly designed, and print cartridges are super expensive. Cartridge Rolled in Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores, and they are serving the universe from Maple Grove, Minnesota, which means they can get you free delivery on qualifying orders. Some businesses can qualify for free printers. Cartridge World, once again, serving the universe from Maple Grove. Call them at 763-420-6632, 763-420-6632, or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Why pay more to print? Cartridge World. Got to get a shout out to my guys at the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36th and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood there in Minneapolis. Love their Instagram feed, and I love what they do in the community. It's so important, and because it's an independently owned and operated station, they get a better deal on fuel, which is why they're so busy. They have all kinds of events. Check them out online at 36lyn.com. That's 36lyn.com, or click on their awesome modern-like banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com, 36th and Lynn.
Take it or leave it, but... My dad and I shared this love of 55 Chevys, and oddly, just psychics, some are good, I believe some are real, have told me that my dad would show me a 55 Chevy when he was around me. And anytime there's been something drastic going on, like the last time I went to the nursing home to see my mother before she died, there was a 55 Chevy in the first place in the parking lot.
No way.
And then I was having some difficulties up here, and we had a campsite that hadn't been used for a week. And I saw something on the table, and I went over there, and it was a little matchbox 55 Chevy. And in times of trouble, my dad
That's
will
amazing.
Leave me signs.
So somehow he was able to manifest that in the real world.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's Norwegian, but he's pretty good. I mean, on his birthday, I've seen cups fly out of the cabinet, stuff like that. And I was like, Dad, you're good. But it doesn't scare me. So I'm thrilled when he shows up.
All right, let's talk about Everybody goes camping sooner or later. They come to a beautiful campsite like this one, perhaps. Are there ghosts in campsites? And forests and places where we go, you know, to get away from it all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've hunted with, part of our ghost group were camping one night, and this is why they became ghost hunters, is they were sitting outside their campfire and they heard a bunch of cowboys and horses run by them. And they were so shocked that they became ghost hunters. Jay and I had an experience. We were down in Arizona, and we had had a fight the night before, and I said, I went to Sedona and went to a hotel. And I sensed there in this old hotel, and I sensed there was somebody in the room with me. And I'm cool with it. I'm a ghost hunter. And so the next night we're camping. You know, we made up and we went camping. And this guy will have a few drinks. Nothing wrong with that. But I sat there. He got up to go to the bathroom like one does, relieves himself outside. And I saw something hit him and push him and kept pushing him. And this, he's got a black belt. He has good balance and all this. And this thing.
Did you feel it?
No, I didn't feel the push. I felt hitting the ground.
Oh, you hit the ground.
Yeah, I fell off a ledge. It was probably, 4 foot ground?
Yeah, knocked him out.
Holy
and
moly.
And I watched this guy not be able to get, because this thing kept pushing him back. And I had some ghost gear with me, and after he regained consciousness and he said he was okay, I started asking questions. And this guy told him, I said, I had an eye of less. I said, did you push Jay? Yes. What's your name? Tony. And I started getting all these, and I think he'd been with me the night in the hotel, and he didn't like us fighting. He didn't like him.
So there's no more fights then.
It's kind of rare.
But yeah, so.
Wow.
Yeah, they are camping. They are camping. Yeah, they come out here, you know. I don't know if it's real. You catch people catching faces in fires. I don't know. That could just be what's called pareidolia, where faces tend to appear.
Yes.
You know? We all see faces and everything, so. But yeah, there are. I have an incredible picture somewhere. It was a stormy, stormy night, and my son was going with his friend up to Breckenridge, and it was snowing so hard, he just reached out at a stoplight and took a picture so he could post it on Facebook how heavy it was snowing in Breck. And he posted it, no big deal. I'm staying at the Stanley Hotel, very haunted, and he calls me the next day and he goes, Mom, I have a friend in Texas that said I caught something really weird in that picture. And he sent it to me, and you could clearly see three cowboys, and they had on hats. You could see their bandanas, you could see their dusters, and then you could see this black figure following them. And you know, my son didn't really believe that much in this stuff. I've taken that camera to experts, and no one could explain it. Cowboys and miners and that sort of thing, you know. The 1890s was an exciting time, and I think a lot of them never wanted to leave.
This is going to change my perception in Death Valley.
Ooh,
a lot.
Because
camping in Death Valley, especially early spring, there's nobody there, so you're alone at least a couple nights.
Wow.
So now I'm going to forget the donkeys. I'm going to be worried about, you know, the old hermit who was the miner.
Yeah. Oh,
we
yeah.
We got a good shot of a ghost in Tombstone, Arizona.
Yeah, that's true. And I have friends that were camping in Utah. There was a place called Negro Jim. I think they've changed the name, thank goodness. They were all they're going to sleep in their car that night. It was off season. And they all saw up on the ridge a whole line of people coming towards them. And they took off. So imagination? Who knows? It's hard to say, but there are so many stories. And you know, I've been in so many haunted locations, have been called to haunted locations to investigate them.
And they can be homes, or they can be a forest. They can be any place.
They can be.
And that's why, what happens if you get a bad vibe when you go to a campground, or let's say you're using Bureau of Land Management or something like that. You get a weird vibe and you think, oh, it's just my imagination. It's
You can do different things to talk to them if you want. Or, you know, if you're scared, just say, you know, be firm and say, hey, you are not wanted here. You must leave. You might look crazy if anybody hears you, but you can, you know, the living trump the dead. in my belief system, you can send them away for the most part, you know, and use your religious beliefs to help you if you need to.
Right.
You know, and, but yeah, I wouldn't be afraid per se. Of course, there are some things that are a little off that supposedly are never human. That's a whole nother subject.
Oh, my God.
And we have been called in to help people with those, and that is beyond my pay grade. You know, you need to get people that are, if you believe in such things, the term is demonologist. I just leave that stuff alone, the really evil ones. You know, I like the run-of-the-mill ghosts.
So you believe that there is another dimension or another world that's, you know, where these things are?
Absolutely.
What is it? Is it some kind of purgatory? Or
some call it regular ghosts, some call it heaven, some call it the other side. It's just a place where, you know, it's quantum physics stuff, you know. I mean, energy never dies. Our souls remain. I mean, Jay was telling me somebody did a study once where they weighed people right before they died and after they died, and they consistently weighed less.
1 pound less. Your soul weighs a pound. That was on 60 Minutes.
Okay. So I believe, you know, we're all energy and our energy remains. And it's all speculation where it goes, you know. But I'm comforted in thinking that, you know, my relatives come and see me and talk to me and look after me and that sort of thing.
Me too. I don't want to jump on board and endorse the ideas, but I do feel comforted from time to time, and I do feel I'm being looked out for.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And I know it's my mom, so.
Yeah, you just know, you know. Because
you know, she told us she was going to do that, because, you know, you're not rid of me. I mean, she didn't say that, but that she would say that.
That's awesome. Well, you know, to make a habit of talking to her, you know. I mean, I think they hear that and they show up. That's no based on no fact, just my belief system.
Beetlejuice. See it three times and they will appear.
So haunted campgrounds in Colorado or places where people go to have this incredible outdoor experience in Colorado.
Absolutely. And you know, this is my belief system. You find ghosts in old hotels a lot. I think they're just cool places to be. Campgrounds are cool places to be. And why not? I mean, if you keeled over, I mean, would you want to be in a dentist office? I don't think so. You want to be in nature. You want to be in cool old hotels and things like that.
You went to the Shining Hotel, I heard.
Yes, many times.
A little bird told me that you went to the Shining Hotel.
Stanley.
Endless experiences there.
Really?
Oh.
What happened there?
Oh, my gosh. We were in one of the most, there's so many. Well, there was the, you know, the voice that I caught, but there were so many things. That we would catch there. We were staying in a room one night on the fourth floor, and you could hear a baby crying in the room. And it turns out the staff used to stay up there and keep their kids up there. And a lot of people have seen children up on the fourth floor. Yeah, I mean, just different things like that where, my gosh, I was staying on the second floor one night, and I saw children running back and forth at the end of my bed. And then my suitcase tipped over, and it wasn't the kind of suitcase that tips over. So it's just, you know, excuse me, cool stuff like that.
And it didn't look like the movie inside, that place.
No, Stephen King worked there, and he did see a lot, which...
Really?
He had worked there when he was young, and he had so many experiences that, I think it's room 212, I can't remember the room he had experience. But okay. And when Jim Carrey was there making Dumb and Dumber, he ran out in the middle of the night, it's been said, because he was scared to death. And
I went to a lodge at Glacier, not the Lake McDonald Lodge, but an older one that's a little closer to the entry to the park. And they call it the Overlook because...
Oh, wow.
Because this guy said it's haunted, and I had the weirdest dreams there I've ever had. Like, really weird. I don't know, it was just power of suggestion, or...
That's part of it. You know, because when your mind slows down, and it's quiet at night, and your thoughts have left you, it's easier for them to communicate with you, is the belief. And they will come and talk to you at night, in your dreams. And that's pretty common, so I don't doubt. I've had those weird dreams in hotels, too. And we've got so many to choose from here, all over the West, and, oh, the East Coast.
The West is loaded with myth and all sorts of really interesting things.
A stormy
that
night.
Was for real. That is not a sound effect. Listen to that.
But it is, you know, if you take everything I say with a grain of salt. Everybody has their own belief systems. But I have experienced enough, caught enough video, audio, still pictures, and had enough physical experiences. I am a believer. And, you know, don't be afraid.
Do you ever had anybody freak out, like in a park?
Uh-uh.
Never.
No. We were in an abbey, and we were with a crew down in Canyon City, and we were, my partner and I and several other people were sitting outside of a room where a priest had committed suicide.
Ooh.
And, you know, there was no wind, no windows were open, and we're just sitting there, and my friend and I were bored, and my friend, who is Catholic, goes, well, maybe committed suicide because he was molesting little boys. And I looked at her, and at that point, the closet door and the room door just slammed shut. At that point, I screamed and jumped on her lap. But I think he was so insulted by that, you know, as he should be, you know. We shouldn't talk bad of the dead.
Good point. Now, you're retired now. You've retired from the ghost hunting.
Yeah.
You had enough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't actively do it. Things will still show up, you know. We saw several nights in a row, we saw my dead cat, Theo, you know. He had something going on where he kept waking up because he kept hearing a lady's voice. And one night I heard her. And so I think this stuff still follows you around a little bit. You know, once you've done this, you know, you're kind of...
Well, you're attuned to it.
Yeah, you're attuned to it.
I got so many questions, I can't even grab them. I mean, running through my head. Let's suppose that you're someone and you'd be interested in being able to see some ghosts. What should people like that do? Like seeing things like that. I mean, the 55 Chevy thing is amazing. You know, the possibility that we're seeing these coincidences and we just don't know it.
Yeah, I don't believe there's anything. I don't believe in coincidences, you know, but that's my belief system. I would say, you know, kind of have your act together before you start doing this, and maybe get your, you know, get some protection lined up, you know, whatever your belief system and who your higher power, whatever it is. Archangel Michael seems to be the archangels are universal with so many religions. You know, have some kind of protection, be it a dead relative, be it, you know, something so big like Archangel Michael or some of that, you know, just something, some kind of protection. Some people use stones, but be aware and be firm and don't be afraid and, you know, go do it, you know, go and get some, if you want proof, there's so many things, especially since I quit, so many instruments that catch stuff. My gosh, people have caught stuff on there. Oh, you know, one of those video games, which one that shows this, you know, the stick person and the people. Anyway, I've seen things with these video systems where they're interactive and ghosts will appear on them and things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Bill Chappell, he invented a lot of devices. I saw him pull one of those up at the stand.
So when you see these things on YouTube where they have the voice of some dead star, like Michael Jackson or someone like that, you believe those?
Well, not really, because I literally could hunt from, you know, 10 at night till 5 in the morning, and you're lucky to get one event.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's not, you know,
well, they've obviously edited.
Yeah.
There's some device that supposedly they were getting Michael Jackson, and I'm trying to think of some of the other people I've seen.
Yeah, it's so hard to tell what's real and not real. You almost have to experience yourself to know it, you know? And but just if you're interested, you know, my belief is like swimming. Don't ghost alone.
You know, the buddy system.
The buddy system, you bet.
Well, you guys are living proof that, you know, the camp hosts are some of the most interesting people at the camp.
Well, so, thank you.
Got to say hi to my friend Mark Korn at Depot Star. This is the great company that has an inventor's heart because it was started by an inventor. That's Mark Korn. They do all kinds of stuff. If you're looking for American manufacturing, if you're looking to get a new product manufactured, you owe it to yourself to check out the guys at Depot Star. American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. Visit them online at DepotStar.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Wouldn't be a podcast if I I didn't thank the people for liking and sharing my posts on Facebook and Twitter, getting a lot of action on LinkedIn. Thank you to all of you LinkedIn people, and I really appreciate the shares in networks on LinkedIn. And if you'll notice, I program all these different social media pages differently. My favorite is Instagram, and I got to tell you, LinkedIn is becoming a close second to Instagram. So thanks for liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and especially thank you for your contributions at thebobdavispodcast.com. Look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command and the big yellow donate button. Click on it and donate. And thank you, Sue Borum of Snowmass, for giving me $100. I can't believe it. And that's going right in the tank. And I will see you at Snowmass very shortly. Well, aside from, you know, American history, the West is full of interesting stories about spooky places, even among Native Americans, whether it's the Badlands or the McDowell Mountains in Arizona, a lot of other places in the West. And I do think it was really cool, Bonnie's statements about how the 1890s were a really interesting time for people out here in the West. You know, we know the West today, most people, as, for example, driving out to Colorado to go skiing on the interstate, or we know it from movies. They came out here and experienced this firsthand in the most primitive way that you can think of, dating from Jim Bridger and some of the other explorers like Fremont, and others out here looking for, you know, resources or farmland or grazing land or whatever they did. And they lived very hard lives. But this is a breathtaking place. It is a breathtakingly spiritual place, whether it's Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico. The whole thing really is the land of enchantment. I love it. I love the West, and I love these stories, whether it's the Brown, Palace, or the quote-unquote Overlook Hotel, or any of these other places. And I love the stuff about it. I didn't know Stephen King worked at that hotel. So thank you, Bonnie, and thank you, Jay, and thank you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts, Podcast 1014. And from here, it is on to the RV Entrepreneur Summit at Montrose at some point. I think it's the September 9th. So we're going to bomb around Colorado, going up to Snowmass to hang out with some friends. And I will see you somewhere on the road.